Prime Minister, thanks for joining us. Over the years, you've managed to implement a lot of structural change in New Zealand. How much opposition did you face?
Along the way, quite a bit, I suppose. But probably from the political parties as opposed to the public. We came in sort of the back end of 2008, and New Zealand had been in a recession because of a housing bubble, really. So we already had three quarters of negative growth in a row, so in technical recession, then the global financial crisis came. So I think the public understood that we needed to change, and I think in a lot of ways they elected us to do that. And they knew that I came from a pretty strong financial background. But having said that, we've done a lot of things. I mean, we've dropped the top personal rate and other personal rates and raised GST. We've done partial privatisations, reformed labour laws and planning laws and amalgamated councils. So it hasn't been like there hasn't been plenty of things for them to argue about in Parliament.
You've done all of those things and been re-elected quite successfully, yet here in Australia, we've seen it become almost a distasteful thing to go about structural change.
Yeah, I mean, every country is different and the situation is different. I mean, you saw a lot of the sort of change that we were doing under John Howard's era, and I just have huge respect for John Howard. I just thought that he essentially understood the plight of the Aussie battler, if you like, the middle Australia, but at the same time realised Australia needs to be competitive. And I think what we try to do in New Zealand is say, well, look, we're a small country, we're at the bottom of the earth, no one owes us a living. You can sit around feeling sorry for ourselves, but actually we've got to get up and make our way in the world. And so, you know, we've had a deliberate strategy, for instance, of engaging with China and the FTA that was signed with China in 2008. At that point, we sold $2 billion to China. Well, today it's $12 billion, and in 5 years' time, we anticipate it'll be $20 billion. So we really have sort of had quite a deliberate strategy of where we've been, you know, basically spending our time, money and energy, if you like.
Do you think New Zealanders are just much more accepting of change than Australians?
Interesting enough, they're quite good adopters of technology. I mean, everything from sort of, you know, electronic banking right through to SmartGate, which, funny enough, the Australians, you know, bought it. It's a French system. But we introduced it after you did because we wanted to have it and we wanted to marry up with Australia. And funny enough, we've been using it more, I think, than you guys. So in some senses, yes, it might be because of the isolation a bit. But no, I think both countries are quite conscious of the fact that, you know, while Australia's a lot bigger than New Zealand, you're still a minnow, really, relative to these big countries around the world. You know, we've got to be competitive to succeed.
You don't have an upper house, though, do you? We've got the Senate to deal with in this country. So your program, put forward by an Australian government, would have had to make its way through a hostile Senate.
Yeah, and I think that was going to be the point I was going to make, that, you know, people can sort of bag, you know, Tony and Joe Hockey, but yeah, there's only so far it can take you if your Senate doesn't want to pass things. And we've got that moment where we're very pro TPP, the free trade agreement with the US. But, you know, Obama's got the Senate now not giving him fast-track approval. So essentially without that, he can't actually make much more progress. Now, he can probably, you know, convince a few Democrats to get it back to the House again. But it just shows you how much an upper house can be a handbrake on, you know, what the government of the day is trying to do.
Even given that, would you like to see a little bit more boldness in Australian politics, a bigger debate about raising our GST like you did?
Oh, in the end, it's for every country to determine. I mean, it's not for me to wade into sort of Australian policy making. All I can say on GST, it's a very funny thing, but people often talk about GST as a regressive tax. So what they basically say is, okay, if I buy a loaf of bread and you buy a loaf of bread and you eat 10 times more than I do, that 2 or 3 cents that I pay is more significant to me than to you. But actually what GST, when you look at GST, if you think about a high-income earner, they consume so much more. So while the rate is the same, nominally, you spend a lot more and therefore you pay a lot more. And I think if you can get that argument through to people to say, look, this is why it's so much fairer, that if you're really well off and you're going to go and buy yourself a Porsche, we're going to pay a hell of a lot more GST in Australia than if you buy yourself a Commodore.
You've had Prince Harry. You've been hosting him in your country this week. Do you think we'll see the day when Australia and New Zealand officially cut ties with the Crown?
I've always thought Australia was much more likely to become a republic than New Zealand. I mean, I think I'm sort of on record over here saying that I think New Zealand will become a republic one day, and it's probably true. But I tell you what, these young royals have connected, I think, globally in such a way that certainly for New Zealand, you know, why would they rush to become a republic? And I suppose the way I try and explain to people is say, well, what would be the difference if we were one? And the answer would be that the people of Australia, in your case, would elect a president as opposed to the government of the day appointing a governor general. Yeah, I suppose, you know, some people will like that. But realistically, if unless the authority changes, and then it's very unlikely it would, the authorities likely remain with the Senate in the lower house in Australia. It really just becomes a popularity contest. And if you look at the governor generals in Australia, you've now got Sir Peter Cosgrove. Well, he strikes me as a very fine bloke and doing a good job. I mean, would it really help if you could elect one? To me, it, I just don't see it as a big deal.
How do New Zealanders perceive Australians?
That's a good question. If it's at a rugby ground, then we can't stand you. And all that Aussie, 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 oi, 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 when you're beating us just drives us mad. But
excuse me, when have we beaten you? Not in rugby. You're beating us in rugby league.
Yeah, I was at the...
It's only the cricket that counts.
A few months ago, yeah. Look, I tell you what the funny thing is with Australia is that Anzac spirit, and we're in the process of obviously of commemorating the 100 years of the Gallipoli campaign. Started something incredibly special, and for all of the sort of, you know, the competition that occasionally is there and most pronounced on the sporting pitch, there's just no question in New Zealand we see Australia as our greatest mate. And I was Prime Minister obviously when the earthquake struck Christchurch, and I'll never forget the scenes on TV of the Australians coming over. There was 200 or 300 of the firefighters came over, and the entire Christchurch airport just stopped, spontaneously burst into applause. And it wasn't that we couldn't cope. I mean, we had 10,000 military and, you know, just lots and lots of people dealing with things. It wasn't the so much the number of people. It was just that we knew when the chips were down, Australia would be there for us. And they were. And I think when we talk about family, to me, family is about doing things you don't get asked to do. You just do it because that relationship. And that's how I see the relationship with Australia.
Does it annoy you sometimes when we take someone like Russell Crowe and Neil Finn when they're successful and claim them as our own?
Well, it depends on who they are and what they're doing. Russell Crowe was actually a young Nat, and I represent the National Party, so we're quite fond of Russell Crowe.
Was Russell a young Nat?
Yeah, well, I think that's the case, yeah. I know I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
The young National Party there, your party, the Conservative Party.
Yeah, party, he's the right-winger.
See how things change.
Well, we're pretty confident within a few months you'll be claiming Lord Lydia Ko as Australasian. We've seen that sort of shenanigans from you guys.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, what about your flag? Just your flag, because our flag keeps getting confused for your flag. You're looking at a new flag. I've seen one where it would be a black flag with a fern. That'd be phenomenal, wouldn't it?
Well, I want to change it. So we're going through this quite convoluted process, but nevertheless doing it, which is a two-stage referendum. So we've got this independent committee. Anyone's free to put in a suggestion. They've had hundreds and hundreds so far. Then of the four New Zealanders, whether they want to change or not, we'll have to pick the one they like. And then there'll be a runoff between that one and the current flags. I think they should change. Oh, look, interesting enough, the paper over here ran a little schematic of the 20 Commonwealth countries.
Yep.
Only three of them haven't changed, Australia, New Zealand, one other. And I just say to people, look at Canada. In 1965, they changed their flag. Their flag was very similar to the Australian New Zealand flag, except it was red, Union Jack in the corner. Would any Canadian seriously dump the maple leaf? And I just think it's about growing more overt signs of patriotism. It's not about trying to cut our ties with the UK. I'm the biggest constitutional monarchist you'll find. I love the Queen of the State. But I just think that we want to be proud Kiwis. And I would say to people, you know, if you're such a proud Kiwi, then show me the T-shirt or jacket or hat you've got with the New Zealand flag on it. The answer is none of them have them. You might have a bit more of that in Australia, but you don't in New Zealand. So we've got to get the silver fern, I think, on something. It doesn't necessarily have to be black, but silver fern's our national symbol.
It'd look pretty good, though. Black, wouldn't it? Black with the silver fern.
Can look good. I like that. It's still running against me on public opinion.
All right.
Inertia is an amazing thing, but I just say to people, look, if you change, you'll look back on it and you'll never regret it. But we'll see how we go. We'll see whether we can carry that debate.
Good luck, Prime Minister. Thanks for joining us this morning.
No problem. It's my pleasure. Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you.